opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
We have a serious issue that needs to be addressed.
What? What's that?
Young intern Sarah, well, no longer intern Sarah, but she should be again for this. I've made some little smart-ass comments. She gives me the why I oughta, you know, this thing. Do you even know where that's from? Well, it's from the Rick Emerson show. Jolie, without missing a beat, says, wasn't it from the guys, the Three Stooges thing?
No, she said those three guys.
Those three guys.
There's those guys with the seltzer and the kicking and the...
The black and white film.
And the nyuk-nyuk. All right. That's a great name for a band, the nyuk-nyuks. Well, maybe not. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Yeah, there's some things that are indisputably, absolutely, unequivocally, irrevocably guy-only territory. Good, bad. I'm not saying it's good, not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's a fact. And usually the Three Stooges, one of those things. In Marx Brothers, a little bit of female crossover. There's some cerebral humor going on there. Not so much the... It's sort of like the Marx Brothers. Here's the difference between the Marx Brothers Three Stooges. For those of you that don't know, if you're playing the Picture Pages version of this at home. Sarah, do you know what Picture Pages are?
No.
Okay. So anyway, the Marx Brothers sort of make fun of man's inhumanity to man. The Marx Brothers ridicule the failings in humanity. They poke fun at humanity. The Stooges kick humanity in its ass and then spray seltzer water out and then kick it down some stairs. That's the difference. Doesn't mean anything to you. What am I? I'm talking to myself here. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. In a while, we'll bring on our friend Clyde Lewis, talk about the little Joe Millionaire action. Oh, we never gave away that sound morpher from a budget computer. We had to do that later this hour. And an Office Confidential if we get to. We got that coming up. Like us 1 hour, followed by the world-famous Phil Hendry show. So when we last left the Rick Emerson show, we were trying to hash some stuff out with Jolie, which we will conclude in one moment. This, however, is Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
It's 2:04 of this news, brought to you by AT&T Broadband Internet, giving you instant connections with no dialing up, no logging on, no busy signals. Why, it's twice as fast as 640 DSL for about the same price. Medford police suspect white supremacists for two beatings of a homeless man and chasing a group of black teenagers. A homeless man flagged down a cop about 2 o'clock in the morning. He said he was sprayed with pepper spray, beaten by two men who claimed to be from white pride. They told him he was beaten because he was a disgrace to his race. 3 hours later, police got a report of a verbal confrontation between three young black men and several young white men at a market. The white men yelled, white pride, and one brandished a gun.
It's surprising they can even master two one-syllable words in a row like that. Like, you wonder if somebody has to have cue cards for them to be able to shout white pride correctly. It's amazing they even have the opposable thumbs to use the pepper spray to spray the homeless guy. You know what white pride and people in the Northwest are? Did you ever see that movie? Well, we talked about this the other day. This is one of my favorite analogies. You know that movie Twins with Schwarzenegger and DeVito, where they create the twins in a lab? One of them real tall, good-looking, strong, muscular Schwarzenegger, and then there's the crap guy, and the crap guy is Danny DeVito.
Leftovers.
That's what the leftovers. That's what the white supremacist guys in the Northwest are. They're the crap leftovers. It's like, on the one hand, great, environment, trees, beautiful, ocean, mountain, sports, clean air, great environment, all the porn and coffee you can shake a stick at, you know, progressive, open mindset, great
food. Lots of beers.
Lots of beer, you know, just all kinds of great stuff happening. But it's like, to get all of this, it's like we had to get the crap leftovers, who are, of course, the white power people that are unfortunately permanently linked with this part of the country. It's just, it's unfortunate. It's sort of like when, I don't know, you know what it is? You know, the white power people are the ugly friend with the hot girl, you know? The Northwest is the hot girl. The white pride people are the ugly friend that you've got to tolerate. It's just it's depressing. All right.
Well, tomorrow marks the bicentennial of the beginning of the Lewis and Clark expedition. Then President Thomas Jefferson wanted to find new trade routes to compete with the British and eventually connect an ethnic cleansing of the Indians, according to history professor Dan Thorpe.
Let's talk for a moment.
What he envisioned was American farmers
would settle
on Indian, what was Indian land in Illinois, Indiana, Ohio. And if those Indians wanted to live like white folks, fine. They were welcome to stay. But if not, which I think is what Jefferson expected, we needed some place to frankly dump them.
So there.
Can I make an observation now?
Sure.
Let's talk for a minute about the term ethnic cleansing. Am I the only one who finds the term ethnic cleansing to be a little bit of Orwellian newspeak? Doesn't it make it sound like we're sending Chinese to, like, a dry cleaners to somehow come back more squeakily scrubbed or something? Ethnic cleansing makes it sound like there's, well, these Yugoslavians are good, but they just need to bathe. We're going to hose them all down. Whatever happened to just calling it genocide? At what point did genocide start becoming ethnic cleansing?
I think CNN came out with that.
There's no ethnic cleansing. There's genocide. That's what it is. It's not... I don't understand why we don't call it genocide anymore. Did we decide that genocide was too unpleasant a term? It was just ugly. We don't like to think about genocide. We'll call it ethnic tidying? Ethnic trimming, ethnic cleansing, that's what we'll call it. No one will know it's really genocide then. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, let's see what else do we have here. Denzel Washington directs and acts in his first feature film, Antoine Fisher, a story about a sailor prone to violent outbursts who is sent to a psychiatrist for help. Denzel, were you seriously looking to direct when this project came along?
Not really. It wasn't a decision I had made. I wanted to direct a picture. I started getting a couple of scripts here and there, and I turned them all down. Maybe, you know, just out of fear, probably. But this one just grabbed me. And then when I met Antoine, it was amazing. I said, "This is an amazing young man." I didn't expect what I was gonna, you know, what I got when I met him. He's very soft spoken, very sweet young man, and I just couldn't let this one go. I couldn't see someone else doing it.
Say, what was it like to bring the heart of the story to the screen for the audience to enjoy?
One of the things I realized early on is we can't be too precious with it. Just because it's touched us this way, or just because it's touched me this way, just because it's important to me doesn't mean it's going to be important to the audience. And don't tell the audience how they're supposed to feel. Just capture the honesty of the moments and they'll get it. And give the audience the room to react. It's like why, in my opinion, a book is always better than a movie, because you can use your own imagination.
You know, he's right. I've learned something today from Denzel Washington.
Wow. It's going to be sunny this afternoon and clear tonight and sunny tomorrow, maybe some clouds Sunday. Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. In just a moment, we'll get Scott, who wants to talk about his sack and the cutting thereof. Okay, so Jolie and I, we were talking about this guy emailed and he wants to know why women flirt. And we noted, Matt and I were noting, that women flirt because they want the thrill without the payoff. Men only flirt because they want to get you into bed. Or, as Stephen here in an email has said, women flirt because they are evil harpies who enjoy twisting their poor male inferiors into testosterone-laced knots of desperation and aching hope. Guys flirt because they're jonesing for a piece. Simple as that. That's what it is, right there. On the nose is what that is.
Okay, it's not socially acceptable for a woman to come out and say, you know, let's bleep.
To whom?
I know you guys would like it, but you'd be sitting around talking and drinking your beers, talking about the girls that you're sleeping with. Oh, did you sleep with her too? Yeah, I slept with her too. You know, you'd be wanting to get all on that, but you wouldn't want to bring her home to your mom. And it's just...
Why do we have to bring every girl home to our moms?
Well,
girls
don't,
you just
but
want
I'm
to
just
sleep
saying,
with.
Society doesn't... Okay. Allow the women act like that, because the girls are going to say the same thing. They're going to say, you're a hoe.
I'm not even saying that you just have to say to the guy, let's go have sex. If you want to go on a date, though, why don't you just come out and say, ask me out, I'll say yes.
Because we don't know yet. You know, we're working.
What do you mean you don't know? If you're flirting with a guy, it's because you're hot for him.
No, you have to see if there's that chemistry there if you want to go further.
How are you going to know there's chemistry if you don't actually go out?
Because, well, you're flirting. You're there together. You're out. You're drinking. You're doing whatever.
Flirting is another name for teasing.
No.
It is.
Girls want sex just as much as guys, but we're a lot more choosy.
I agree that you're more choosy, but I have said this in the past, and that you know it to be true, that sex is not as important to most, generally speaking. I'm going to get emails, people saying I'm wrong. Generally speaking, sex is just not as important to women as it is to men. It's just not.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean we don't want it.
Well, I'm saying you want it much less,
though. See,
it's a lot less.
Well, we have other priorities.
Well, okay, that's fine. But we're getting away from the point. The point is, don't make the guy guess. Because you can't see, it seems to me like you want to have it both ways. On the one hand, you want to say guys are stupid, which we heard several times yesterday. And on the other hand, though, you just want to hint and hope they figure it out. If they're stupid, why are you just hinting and hoping they put the pieces together? If they're stupid, you should spell it out.
I think it's all part of the game. You know how, like, animals like to play with something before they go in for the kill?
Much like a mouse before you disembowel
it? Exactly, yeah. Exactly. You need to fill things out.
So before you rip out our still-beating hearts and hold them aloft in the air for the other tribal natives to see, you want to actually toy with us for a little bit.
Pretty much. It's a game, said the spider to the fly.
We just don't know if we want to do it yet or not.
Okay.
It takes us a little longer to figure it out.
No, it doesn't. You know within the first 20 seconds whether or not you're going to sleep with a guy.
No.
See, that's what I'm saying. This is just so frustrating. All right, we're going to get Pete in a moment. Let's quickly grab a Scott. Scott, you're on a cell phone. You're in Portland. What's up with you?
Hey, Rick, how's it going? Actually, I'm not on the cell phone.
Oh, okay.
But, hey, I've been listening for the last couple of days. I'm at work now. I was off for the last couple of days, so I hope I'm not being too repetitive on you.
No, bring it on, baby.
Listening solid. The worst part of the vasectomy is not the pain and discoloration. It's the four cups that they send you out the door with for collecting sample to prove that you're sterile.
Well, at least it's not cups to collect leakage or something. That would be unpleasant.
So, you know, there's only one way to collect that, and first of all, that's not much fun trying to collect in a medicine jar. Then you have to walk into the hospital and give it to the receptionist.
Here's my man goo.
And it has to be within a half an hour of collecting. So you know the chick behind the counter is knowing exactly what you just did.
Knowing you baked up a fresh batch just for her. Yeah.
I mean, that was the worst part.
Yeah.
Embarrassing as all hell. They treated me really good. You know, you walk in there with your head hung low and horrible.
Yeah.
But it's worth it in the end because then you get that piece of paper that it's legal.
Congratulations. You can never be a father.
Exactly.
Excellent. All right, there you go.
Yeah, I just thought, cool. You know, that's the worst part, man. All right. Pain, don't worry about it. It's the embarrassment afterwards.
Ah, dude, I'm embarrassed. Look at my life. Look at my show. Like I have any shame. like I could possibly have any shame at this point. That's Scott in Portland. Let's cut to Pete on a cell phone. What's up?
How do I follow that call?
Yeah, as long as it's not about fluid or bowls, you're going to be okay.
Hey, I was just calling about Jolie. You know, she said the key words right there that, you're not the type of girl that we want to take home to mom. And you stated that, of course, we don't want to take all women home to mom. But it just sets it out that that's mainly what women seem to be after. It's not that they need some gratification real fast, because we all know that women do, but they're afraid to admit it and actually come out and say, hey, I'd like to take you home, because they want to all be taken home to mother, get married, and be taken care of for the rest of their life. That's their whole goal.
Well,
they're taught that from little girls, Cinderella.
That's true. That's true.
Men see all roads ending at the bed or possibly the couch or floor. Women see all roads ending at the altar.
And that's what makes this Joe Millionaire so damn funny.
Yeah, that's completely true. This is Matt, let's go ahead and welcome now also to the Rick Emerson Show our friend and colleague. This is a good time to segue into that. That's Clyde Lewis, the original Harry Scary Guy, host of Crown Zero.
Hey.
What's up with you?
Well, I guess...
I got you segueing into Joe Millionaire. Well, you even listen to the flirting thing. You're with me on this.
Yeah, and not only that, but you know me and my statement that I made about Oregon women. They don't flirt. They really don't. Women who are originally from Oregon do not flirt. I don't know what it is with them. You know, if you're from Washington or if you're from somewhere else, it's fine. They flirt and it's fine. Because I always ask a woman if she's flirting with me. Are you from here originally? No.
Well, you know, it's funny. I got this. I can't say who this is from, but this is from a woman who works here. I won't give her name because I don't want to embarrass her. But this is from a woman who works here. She sent this to me now. Subject line flirting. Rick, women flirt because they want to see if they can still get a man, especially if they're already in another relationship. They want to know they have the skills to get a new man if they have to. Signed, such and such, a woman who works here.
So, I mean, it just seems to be
get the backup guy going on there.
It seems to be my experience that if they're from here, they have a harder time flirting than the ones that aren't from here originally. For some reason, I don't know what it is. I think why Oregon women don't flirt is beyond me. They sit there and they wait at the back of the bar and they expect you to go to them for some reason.
But do you also know that sometimes we're not even flirting?
No.
We're just being nice?
But see, we can't tell the difference. That's why you can't hint. That's why you cannot hint, because we're not going to get it. You know, we're not going to understand it.
But I think the women want, you know, because of what I said before about the societal thing, that women want you sister, come and ask us
free
out.
Your mind. See, break that, your chains.
Are you from here originally?
What's your sign?
I am.
You just made my statement. I mean,
right. I know.
You,
well,
you expect the man to come to you.
Because we're traditional.
No.
A lot of the women are.
No.
And yeah.
Flirting is something that you do together. If the chemistry is there and you're flirting, you feel that connection going on.
Flirting isn't one way. Makes,
well, that's what I said, yes.
But you just said that man, you want the men to come to you, which is a pure Oregonian thing. Oregonian women are that way for some reason. I've been all over the country, and this is the way it is.
Charles, you're on Hot Talk 1080 KTK.
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
Jolie, I'm going to call you on this one.
All right, Charles.
It goes right back to the same thing as, what do you want to do? Where would you like to go for dinner? We have to guess. Wrong. Come out and tell us what you want.
I would. I'd like to go to Thai,
tell
please.
Tell us what you want.
No, because what it was.
Are you asking me out on a date, Charles?
Well, see, if he was, he'd just say it. He would just say it, right? No, but we never get, I want to go here, we get, surprise me. That's what we get.
Yeah, surprise me, or I don't care.
But here's the surprise, we're staying home and you're cooking.
I'll leave it up to you, or whatever.
Because women
say... Tell us what you want!
What?
It sounds like he's in pain, like he's got a pitchfork through one foot.
I thought I heard cussing.
He's feeling like putting an ice pick between.
All right, there you go. There's Charles in Portland. Jesus, it sounds like he's like in a burning lake of fire there. Ah! All right. We're going to get Chris, the mail manager, just a moment. We're talking about Joe Millionaire.
I'll talk about Joe Millionaire.
With Jolie. The first thing out of her mouth this morning was, I would not sleep with that guy for all the tea in China.
He is gross.
Oh, please.
Do you see those eyes?
He's got a bulging package, though. Have you seen that picture of him and his package? It's huge.
Nice ass, too.
His package is immense.
If we cut his head off, it might be okay.
Clyde,
what the hell is that?
Okay, I can forgive Sarah for making the comment about the guy's ass. Why are you commenting on his package? Why are you looking?
That is one more move to make.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right. Here's,
can we not talk about the Speedo right now?
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
You've seen the package.
Speedo and the bikini wax and all that good stuff.
All right. Sticky. All right, here's Sarah Dillon.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
2:24, Tim Riley with news, brought to you by the Portland Trailblazers. They take on the Minnesota Timberwolves tomorrow at 7 o'clock at the Rose Garden. Great seats still available at the Rose Quarter Ticket Office, all Ticketmaster outlets, or visit Blazers.com. Raise a glass of Duff. Homer has a reason to celebrate. Fox has renewed The Simpsons for two more seasons. That'll go through May 2005. That'll make The Simpsons the longest-running TV comedy in the history of television with 16 seasons. The old record held by The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. Also signed up for renewal, King of the Hill. Well, it's time to apply for bleacher seats if you want to see the Oscar nominees up close. Applications must be postmarked by February 11th. After that, well, you won't be accepted. Fans will be chosen by a random drawing on March 1st. You'll get an application on the Academy's website. Go to www.oscars.org/bleachers. They'll give you a toll-free number, too. Portland Metro forecast, sunny for the rest of this afternoon. Mostly sunny anyway. Clear tonight, maybe a little fog. Mostly sunny tomorrow, clouds on Sunday. Tim Riley of the KOTK Newsroom.
Now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080, Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. In just a moment, we'll welcome Kim Morgan, who reviews films both for The Oregonian and for DVDjournal.com and for the Rick Emerson Show here. So Kim Morgan will be with us in just a moment. We're here with Clyde Lewis as well. Let's grab Mailman Chris. He's a full-time listener. What's up with you?
Hey, man, I guess I can segue a couple of them there. Well, before I degenerate into talks of vasectomy, I can segue kind of into Kim's DVD journal about The Good Girl. Came out on DVD this week.
Uh-huh.
I remember you talked about it, raved about it when you saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
Just finished watching it about a half hour ago.
And?
Excellent movie.
Great film. The Good Girl, I think Sarah's actually in the middle of watching it right now. She got it paused halfway through at home. Good Girl with Jennifer Aniston and Jake Gyllenhaal, I think his name is. It's a great movie, though.
Excellent movie.
Great movie.
And with that being said, now, you've been talking about vasectomies.
Yes.
I had mine done a month and a half ago while I've been off work. And actually, coincidentally enough, I just got the call today from the doctor's office that I got my zero count.
Oh, so you're down. You're done. Your gun is empty.
My gun is empty.
Excellent.
So, and I tell you, the scariest thing, I wasn't worried about it. I knew what was coming. I was worried about it. But what scared me was when they got ready to start the procedure and the woman was putting this pad on my back, sticky pad on my back. I said, what is this? And she said, it's a grounding pad. I said, grounding pad? And because they use like an electric cauterizing tool.
Okay. Yeah, that's
unnerving. That was the scariest part.
Yeah, all right. But you give it thumbs up.
Well,
on the whole procedure, getting it done.
Thumb probably wouldn't be the piece of anatomy I would give for it, but I would give something up.
I give it wood up. That's Chris the Mailman. All right, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Our friend and colleague, the lovely and vivacious Kim Morgan, reviews films every week for the Oregonian, as well as the Wing Reader in the A&E today, also DVDjournal.com. What's up with you, Kim?
Oh, nothing. I just got out of a movie I'm seeing in my car.
What did you just see?
I just saw a Korean film about a little boy that goes to visit his grandmother who lives the old way and can't talk.
Are you the person that they always send to see anything subtitled? Is it like a subtitle, they just like throw it in your box?
That's not really the case, but I seem to see a lot of foreign films, yeah, and I like foreign films. Kid was such a brat in this movie, I wanted to hit him whole time.
Is that kid in The Good Girl, is it Gyllenhaal, is it Jake Gyllenhaal?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal. Good Girl with Jennifer Aniston, which is just a great movie.
And in Donnie Darko. Great movie. Can't talk about enough.
Which I have not seen. But so
he's also in Moonlight Mile. He's in tons of stuff now. He's a big thing.
Anybody who has not seen The Good Girl with Jennifer Aniston, don't be scared off by the fact that Jennifer Aniston's in it. It's a great film. It really is. A couple of things. Well, first of all, is there anything new or spectacular opening this weekend?
The movies that I saw were not good. I saw A Guy Thing, terrible.
With Jason Lee, of all people, who I generally like, but who picked some of the worst movies ever.
You know, everybody generally likes Jason Lee, but really, what does Jason Lee do that's so spectacular, aside from being amiable on screen?
Well, that's the whole thing, though. That's why, again, that's the statement that he picks bad movies, but he really does have this kind of real sunny charisma. He is just such a likable guy, so I kind of root for him. I root for his career, which maybe I shouldn't, but I root for his career because he seems like a good guy. But then he picks these pieces of crap to make.
You know, he is a Scientologist.
Really? Well, then therefore I take my support away.
Screw Jason Lee!
So A Guy Thing looks to be awful in the manner of Tom Katz and all of those hideous sex comedies of the last 5 years.
Well, you know, Julia Stiles and Selma Blair are also in it, too, and they're also talented. Julia Stiles in The Business of Strangers, I don't know, not many people saw that.
That was with Stockard Channing. She was really good in that.
I know. She was great in that film, and Selma Blair was really great in storytelling and Cruel Intentions, but it's just, you know, it's not, and I saw it in the screen, and it's amazing sometimes how many people will laugh. And I think part of it is because they saw a free movie or something, so they feel like, you know,
right,
they can let go and laugh at laugh and make noises when cars jump over things and make it was a nightmare.
Sounds like
it was actually just the whole thing, the movie, the experience was just terrible.
Well, so it's like when they don't pay for it, suddenly the bar is a lot lower for what's entertaining.
Yeah, they've just let loose the Sizzler salad bar and let everyone come there go to a movie. They all enjoy the hell out of themselves.
We were talking about this the other day. I think it's true, and I blame DVD and home theater for it, though. But is it an illusion, or are movie audiences getting worse?
They're worse, and I blame DVD and videos, certainly, because it used to be, you know, maybe like teenagers or something. But it's not actually worse. Are adults? They are the worst. They talk the most during movies, and they make comments, and they say things like, well, he showed her, like through the whole film. And this was the same thing, and there were these two girls behind me. Jason Lee wakes up, they go, uh-huh, that's what I'm talking about. And I look back, and I'm like, oh, they're not black. All right, so these girls who are talking in black speak the whole time, but they're not black, are making comments. I didn't even tell them to shut up. I'm like, there's no point.
Well, there's no point because they're not going to pay attention anyway.
They won't shut up, and everyone else is talking. So, but I mean, they're actually saying things like, at one point he looks at Julia Stiles. The film's been going on for about an hour now, and he goes, they go, oh, he likes her. Good. Didn't you see the preview for the movie? I mean...
And this makes you want to get a flamethrower. It's like when I was... And it's you're right about the laughing for no reason thing. When I would see the Two Towers, and there's like 20 minutes of trailers beforehand, and they're showing trailers for, you know, like Kangaroo Jack, and just like the worst crap ever. And it happened both times I saw the Kangaroo Jack trailer. Once at Two Towers, and once at Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. The Kangaroo Jack trailer is on, and people are just guffawing. I mean, just the belly laughs at it.
I'd rather see Kangaroo Jack than a guy thing. I'm serious. I'd rather see that kangaroo do that Australian rapper's delight. You've seen him do that, right?
No, all I know is he has sunglasses.
Hop, hippity hop, but don't stop. I mean, because he's a kangaroo.
He's a kangaroo and hopping.
You know, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I think it's funny. really it's funny.
Anytime there's somebody way too young to rap, way too old to rap, way too white to rap, or an animal rapping. It's a movie I don't ever need to see. Or if there's an animal in sunglasses, I can just avoid it.
Oh,
forever.
Yeah. Well, you know, that means he's cool.
Yeah. It means he's edgy. He's an edgy kid. He's a kangaroo to the max. All right. Let's talk about Robert Blake for a second. He's unfortunately gone insane, I think.
Well, he's been in jail. Give him a break.
No.
I'm a staunch defender of Bobby Blake, so...
I'm not trying to bust on him, I'm sure. I mean, I know I was in jail for this... I was in jail for the smallest period of time, and it started to make me a little wacky sitting in there, and he's been there for 7 months. So I don't blame him. I mean, being in jail, if you're not a criminal and bent when you go in, you will be that way when you get out.
And he has no Grecian formula either.
And he hasn't been convicted of any. That's the worst part. He's not even on trial yet, and he's been there for the better part of a year. So this...
he shouldn't be there.
I don't know if you heard the deposition that he gave today.
I did not hear it today. No, I'm out.
You'll see it on CNN tonight, or if you the next time you listen to the next time if you're watching the TV news, you'll see the Robert Blake. And it's just kind of sad that he just goes on this long, rambling, angry monologue directed at sort of everyone and no one. It's like some Spike Lee monologue where he just goes on this free-form, free-floating hatred thing, repeatedly told by the judge to stop. He doesn't stop. He keeps going. It's obvious that he's starting to lose his bearings, and it's not even really funny. It's just kind of creepy and sad.
Well, he's been wanting to talk for so long, and his first lawyer quit because he wanted to talk to Diane Sawyer, so he quit. And then he's trying to talk to Diane, Barbara Walters, and one of his other lawyers quit. He still has this other, I can't remember the name of the lawyer that he has right now.
Right.
But
he's got yet another lawyer coming on now.
Yeah, because they don't want him to talk, and he really wants to tell the side of the story. And I don't know, maybe they should just let him do it. I know that's not generally good advice,
What's he got to lose now? So, Kim Morgan, you are on tomorrow night from 7 to 9 with Big Fat Radio, co-host Billy Turner. And you can read Kim Morgan in each week's Oregonian, including the A&E, and also at DVDjournal.com. So I'm sure that I might see you tomorrow night. If not, you guys can listen to Kim tomorrow night, 7 to 9.
All right.
Cool. Thank you. Talk to you soon. There you go. Kim Morgan. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. Stay there. We got Brian on the way. We're talking a little bit about Joe Millionaire with Clyde Lewis. And like us in half an hour, followed by the world-famous Bill Hendry Show. We'll be back. Stay there.
Talk 1080 KOTK.
Okay, my platforms are way too big. I almost fell in the hallway.
Yeah, you look like Ace. Well, everybody has a different name for them. I think that they remind me of Ace Frehley.
As soon as I see him, I think Ginger Spice. The red hair and the platforms.
And somebody else at Eddie Munster.
Yeah, my friend calls me Eddie Munster.
Yeah, they're big and creepy. They're like...
they're not creepy.
Well, no, it's just in that they're like... They're not human boots. I mean, they're not boots designed for humankind.
I did get
they're
them
huge.
At Metro. They're a little huge.
So that place on Hawthorne?
Yeah.
Yeah, that place is... that's... I could never wear anything from there. It's a place for your people, not mine. Here's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
Thanks. They're really...
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Rick Emerson Show, followed by Likas in about 20 minutes. world-famous Phil Hendry show at 7 p.m. Rick, in all fairness, Jolie does do her segment correctly. She's telling how chicks think. Every day during her segment, I'm reminded how glad I am to be gay. Right, there you go. That's Bob.
Very nice.
I got more gay guys named Bob, like 700 gay guys named Bob.
It's an undercover
show.
Name. Their names aren't Bob.
It's their undercover name.
Just like Justin was
it's
Bob.
It's their slave name. All right. What?
I said just like Justin's name was Bob for a while.
Something I should know about, something I should know about
no,
that?
No, you're reading me wrong.
Okay, all right. Anyway, we're here with Clyde Lewis. So you, now, did you finally watch Joe Confidential?
Yeah,
I'm looking at The Office Confidential. Did you finally watch Joe Millionaire?
Yeah, I did.
And so?
Yeah, whatever. It's not.
I thought the show would be like your wet dream.
Well, of course, you thought it was because
hot women having to shovel manure. I thought you would just be
I found that
orgasmic
a bit comical,
over that.
But you know what's really interesting is the older I get, the more I realize that, it just seems to me that this whole, these dating shows, The Bachelorette, The Bachelor, all this, it just makes me lose all my interest in it all, really. It does. Because you see, I mean, that one woman, what's her name? Not Katie, Kathy, the blonde.
Which one?
Heidi?
Heidi, speaking in bad French.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was hysterical.
My suitcase is a bagel.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it's stuff like that that just makes me realize that there are a lot of horrible, horrible harpies out there that just, you know.
Well, that's the whole point of the show, though.
Exactly. Why not watch it then? Learn that there are women out there like this.
He taking part in it is just as bad, I think.
Now, see, well, this is the big debate, though, is that who's bad, him for lying or them for being greedy?
Both.
But this actually
demonstrates something that we're all being a part of right now, and I don't think it's healthy for the country or healthy for anyone. That is, we enjoy anymore watching people fail miserably.
Well, we're all that. This is the weird thing about the show is that we've made this observation is that the strange thing is it makes us all complicitous. Like we're all sort of these accomplices.
Yeah, we all want to watch somebody get really, really hurt or get really, really their lives destroyed. We take more beauty in watching somebody's life being destroyed than we do in watching somebody's life being edified.
The strange thing about Joe Millionaire's
Thompson story is another example of that.
Well, I was just talking to Sarah. We kind of stayed away from the Townsend thing because he wasn't charged with anything.
Well,
so I don't want to be part of that. But
Robert Blake is another example of that. We are watching more and more people fail miserably. They're people that we've loved for, and this happened after OJ, I believe.
Well, the thing about Joe Millionaire is how we're all kind of driving the getaway car.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's knocking off the liquor store, and we're outside in the sedan waiting to speed into the gloom.
Right. I mean, it's the idea that we're watching people on television now. Getting their lives destroyed. I mean, if the woman who ends up with Joe Millionaire finds out he's not a real millionaire, then that's going to be, you know, devastating for her.
See, I don't think she's going to be so much destroyed as getting what she deserves. If, you know, half these women when they're interviewed are like, I've always dreamed of marrying a millionaire. They say nothing about his personal qualities except that he's good looking.
I see a Princess Leia girl. What's her name?
Oh, that's Melissa Edmonds.
Edmonds.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because Melissa seems to be the one that doesn't seem like she's after his money.
Oh, please. But who would go on a television show to find a husband and when the only redeeming quality is that he's got money? Anybody who does that can't be a good person.
I don't know. I've heard nice ass out of women's mouths and boy, is he a hunk. I've heard stuff like
well,
that.
Well, okay, but that's my whole point, though. It's like anybody who goes on television to find a husband is obviously not you know, operating on all cylinders. They're obviously not good people anyway.
Well, no, but we're just loving to watch how bad people can be. And it makes people like me just not even want to participate anymore.
Because you were so positive and cheery before.
No, I am. But, you know, people who know me.
Thanks for being a buzz.
You know, people who know me from, you know, outside of what I talk about and how I am on the air, you know, they know that I'm a guy who likes to laugh and have a good time. But it just seems to me that we tend to just like to focus on the bad people and we like to focus on all this garbage. And
way to bring the room down.
No,
Thanks for really ending it down.
No, I think that we should all think long and hard about why we like this type of crap.
What is this, a Vatican encyclical?
No,
what are you doing?
I hate to sound like a pontificating bastard, but I mean, come on.
Well,
I mean, isn't it something
the
good?
The barn doors open on that already.
And not only that, but I mean, you know, and take it from a guy who's trying to get a TV show on in Hollywood right now. I mean, I'm struggling to try and get mine off the ground, but no, if I had a nice ass and a beautiful brow, if you pose in Speedos. Yeah.
Have you seen the Speedo picture?
No.
Let's talk about the Speedo picture for a second. I got this emailed to me by like 700 people this morning. It's just,
in People magazine, too.
Really? Because the smoking gun is where I saw it. Because, you know, he was a male model before,
right.
Or is now, or whatever. Anyway, and so there's all these shots of him, bad hair, he's got the Mike Brady hair going on. looks all greased up, and then he's in, like, just these amazingly... Is Speedo a name brand, or is that, like, just a generic catch-all
term? The name brand.
Well, anyway, he's in these tiny, itsy-bitsy panty thing. You know, these, like, swim trunks.
Bikini brief.
That's what it is.
Well, there's also a scandal in the Globe saying that
bulging,
he's gay.
Bulging sack and whatnot, and I don't know. All I know is that... I mean, well, I don't care. I mean, these... The pictures are...
All I want to know is why would a construction worker be at a Hollywood Christmas party?
No, when was he at a Hollywood Christmas party?
That's where he met the producer who was telling him about the show.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
We're such dorks. This is just like the Britney and Justin thing again. We're such nimrods.
I know, and we follow these people. They're not anybody to emulate or even look up to. And, you know, I just see it as a horrible, you know, precedent. It sets a horrible precedent. We all find ourselves engrossed in this. And I had this friend of mine who said, oh, we're not going to watch this because I went over to the house and I wanted to, you know, talk with her and stuff. And she said, I don't want to watch this show. And so I caught up on the show. And I can see why she didn't want to watch the show. The show is just pathetic. Nah.
See, how strange is it that you're not watching it, yet I am? Yet I'm absolutely engrossed.
I don't know. I see my
How
taste.
Sad is that I now plan my Monday nights around Joe Millionaire?
I know. I used to dread Mondays.
So pathetic.
Now I look forward to them.
You know what I'm doing right now? I'm catching up on all the independent films I missed over the summer, and I'm really having a good time with it.
We'll do more on the way. This is you got to check this out. We got more with Clyde on the way. This is from that Ramones tribute album. This is You Too. This sounds like a joke. I mean, the music is okay, but he sings it just like he's Bono. You can practically hear the golden halo around him. And there's way too much reverb. Wait till we hit the chorus on this.
One man comes to beat on the
brass. Wait till we get the what can you do. This guitar line shouldn't be there.
Why did you make me play this?
Because we played the wrong zombie one, which I liked. And so for every yin, there's got to be a painful yang. This makes me want to vomit. We'll be back.
Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Ibis was talking about this Dwight Yoakam cover of Carmelita, which I guess was a Warren Zevon song, although I thought that somebody else had written it. Anyway, but Adam Duritz from the Counting Crows did kind of this definitive version of Carmelita, which Ibis was playing forever. And so then yesterday, somebody had slipped him the new Dwight Yoakam compilation or CD or box set or whatever, and it has Dwight Yoakam covering Carmelita. And it was one of those things where you get trapped into listening for like 4.5 hours to Ibis because he kept talking about it, and I kept waiting for him to play it, and then it took forever. But he was just,
Dwight Yoakam, I don't know why he would, this is just awful. That's just,
Well, that's right, I-Man.
Yeah, there's just, just nothing. It's just, you know, I guess he's got a...
That's right, I-Man.
Well, I,
And then he just played it, and it was so bad. It was, but he totally lived down to the hype. The Dwight Yoakam Carmelita was so bad. It sounded like a mariachi band. And it was totally doing this, you know, that yo-yo sing-songing up and down, Carmelita, yeah! They freak out with the notes. They quaver it up and down almost. I almost threw sex. I had to dump that. I almost let that go. But where they quaver the note up and down because it's just so freaking bad.
Freaking there.
All right. Let's quickly roll it. It's your Office Confidential.
Yeah.
For Friday.
I hate this job. I hate this goddamn job, and I don't need it.
Human beings were not meant to sit in little cubicles staring at computer screens all day, filling out useless forms and listening to eight different bosses drone on about mission statements.
This comes to us, as do they all, from Anonymous. It's Rick Emerson's Office Confidential. Your chance to anonymously complain and bitch about your coworkers, boss, or company. Well, Rick, it's another freaking Friday. Not that it matters. I got laid off after 19 years of busting my ass for the same no-good bunch of ungrateful mother effers. Nowadays, you are just a goddamn number on a time card. And when your number is up, it's adios, sucker. I drove delivery truck all over the goddamn state for them. I worked weekends. I worked overtime up the ass. And in 19 years, I took 2 days of sick leave. Hell, the freaking bosses were gone more than that in 1 week. I'm not going to mention any names, but I wouldn't recommend anyone to this company unless they like the shaft. Signed, anonymous, full-time listener, P.S. F. Matt with an Edsel grill.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by your business.
And that's your Office Confidential for Friday.
Looks like you've been missing a lot of work lately.
I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
Good one.
Oh, that's terrific.
All right, we got Lycus in about 7 minutes, followed by the world-famous Phil Andrews Show. What's coming up on Ground Zero this weekend?
I'm just going to open the phones tonight. We got so many things going on in the news right now that I just can't avoid not talking about chemical weapons and all this other stuff that's happening and race relations. And
talk about the fact that those 12 warheads that we supposedly found that are empty, that they were purportedly already described in the 12,000-page document, 8,000 pages of which we removed before let anybody else see it.
I think we already made the assumption, at least on my show. I think I even did it on your show. We said they will find something at the last minute to get all PO'd about, and they're going to go after Iraq anyway. So this is the little, this is the smoking gun they have of evidence that they're out to get us, and we have weapons of mass.
So Ground Zero, 10-1 Friday night, Ground Zero, 10-1 Saturday night, Ground Zero, 8-10 on Sunday, following the God Guys. Also tomorrow, don't forget to listen to Big Fat Radio with Kim Morgan and co-host Billy Turner from 7 p.m. To 9 p.m. We want to thank CNN Radio's Jim Roop, CNN Radio's Dick Giuliano, Brittany, the high Brittany Murphy, the obviously high Ashton Kutcher as well, Scott Ritter, Robert Blake, Britney Spears, Denzel Washington, Jerry O'Connell, Anthony Anderson, Martin Lawrence, Jolie from the front desk, Kristen from accounting, Kim Morgan, of course, Peter Carlin, and again, Clyde Lewis. The Rick Emerson Show is produced today and every day by Sarah Dillon for Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley. In the executive producer's chair, one, Matthew Peterson. I got Lycus next, Henry at 7, and Clyde Lewis with Ground Zero at 10 p.m. We will see you Monday at noon. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. Have a good weekend. Be safe. See you Monday at 12. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Always be closing.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.